the Comedy Forecast Network. Let's dog ear this for now.
Comedy Forecast, episode 450. Live from DragonCon 2017.
Bringing you the funny since 2005, it's the Comedy Forecast Comedy Podcast, powered by its patrons. For as little as a dollar, you can help support the show and get episodes before everyone else. To find out more, just search for Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4, on Patreon.com. That's Patreon.com. Or go to ComedyForecast.com and click on the Patreon link on the page. Thank you.
Oh, hi, folks. Clinton here. Welcome to, or welcome back to, Comedy Forecast. Speaking of back, I'm just back from DragonCon in Atlanta. It was great. There was a parade, there was pizza, parties, and a joint live show from Comedy Forecast and Technorama. Now, I can't give you a spot to watch the parade, or give you a slice of pizza, or even take you to the parties, but I can give you the audio from the live show. In fact, that's what I'm going to do right now. So let's go to the podcasting track at DragonCon and join in the fun. All right, welcome, folks, to the Technorama Comedy Forecast live from DragonCon 2017 extravaganza, the hashtag, put all that out there, show. Yay! And I want to say, how about a big hand for our new podcasting track room?
Yay!
Now, I know it's a little hard to find, but there is an upside to that. First of all, we're so far down in the Hilton that North Korea can never hit us down here. And this is such a great hiding spot for that executive that greenlit the new Tom Cruise Mummy movie. I mean, just no one will ever find him down here. And also, how about a hand for this new tie that I have? This was given to me by my friend Paul Barry, who does a podcast as well, Window to the Magic, at windowtothemagic.com. I think we need a ding for that one. What we like to do every year when we start off the panel is go over some of the stuff that's happened since the last time we were here. And since last time we were here, it feels like it's been about 20 years, because it has been a long year. But let's face it, when we walked out of the room last year, nobody knew that Amazon was going to put all of Whole Foods into its shopping cart. We didn't know that La La Land was going to win Best Picture for about 90 seconds. We'd never heard of the Mooch, and no one had ever seen one of these. A fidget spinner.
But it was an automotive part.
These things were everywhere this summer, which is really crazy, and I know they were. It's crazy because the Beanie Babies in my closet told me so, and they know everything. But, you know, it occurred to me, these things are no longer the fad, but stores have tons of these things left over. What are they going to do with them? I figure there's going to be lots of creative marketing that happens at this holiday season. I can just hear it now. Hey, kids, are you tired of the same old Hanukkah games? Well, ask your parents for a spinny, the new wave in dreidels. At Christmas time, remember, it can get awfully stuffy in those stables. So get a ceiling fan for your nativity scene. She won't know what to say when you give her this set of earrings. Look for that coming. What else has happened? Oh, I don't know if it was just me, but this year it seems like every new show that came out had time travel involved with it. I mean, we already have Doctor Who and Legends of Tomorrow, but we had Making History. We had Time After Time came out. We had Timeless that came out. You know, I felt like Kevin Can Wait, when that show started, there should have been a subplot in that where they went back in time to a point when Kevin James was funny. You know, yeah. Come after me, Paul Blart. Ow. Come after me. Oh, what else? Oh, how many people here were interested in the solar eclipse that just happened?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I really wasn't that excited about it because to me it was kind of like the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. Don't look at it! Don't look at it!
Turn away!
I know we've been talking about it nonstop for a month and a half, but do not look at it!
And who looked at it? The president.
The president. But we all ended up with nice pairs of these.
Sexy.
Solar glasses.
Don't look at Clinton too long.
So these are actually very good. I would recommend taking these when you go to see the new Star Wars movie. They work much better than those IMAX 3D glasses. So wear a pair of these. That'll be fine.
It's a bad movie.
Also, the nice thing about this is that if you hold on to these until 2024, you can use them for the next eclipse. I can't remember where I put my car keys at the end of the day. I'm supposed to keep track of a piece of cardboard for 7 years. It's not going to happen.
That's worth about all of it, half a penny.
So yeah. I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, well, of course, one more thing happened in the past year that everyone's been talking about. And, you know, I can't avoid talking about it any longer. I've kind of danced around that subject. Chuck, Craig, and I started a new podcast.
Yay! It's like called... Two or three it wasn't enough, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it's called The Topic is Trek, and it's about Star Trek. And so we'll hopefully be talking a bit more about that later on in the show. But for right now, I'd like to turn things over to my cohorts in crime, Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp, to kick off their section for Technorama.
Yay! This is a little segment called On This Day in History. It's part of our regular show. We enjoy pronouncing Russian physicists' names for some whatever reason.
Not as much as I do.
We enjoy you pronouncing them, too.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's roll the music. And we need volunteers to step up as... No, Steve, just shove it in their face, all right? On this day in history for September 6, 2017, this is the 249th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 116 days remaining in 2017, and when Steve hands you the microphone, just read what's on the screen. Easy as that. Fair enough? Here we go.
On this date in 1492, Christopher Columbus sails from La Gomera in the Canary Islands, his final port of call before crossing the Atlantic for the first time.
Yay! Woo! Who's next? Next victim.
It was also on this date in 1522 that the Victoria, the only surviving ship of Ferdinand Magellan's expedition, returns to San Nu.
You're a member of the show now.
That's right.
Spain becoming the first ship to circumnavigate the world.
Awesome. Eat the microphone.
It was on this date in 1620 that the Pilgrims sailed from Plymouth, England, on the Mayflower to settle in North America. Curtin settled Salem, which will later become part of Massachusetts Bay Colony on this date. 1628.
Nicely done.
Woo-hoo. That same date, in 1803, British scientist John Dalton begins using symbols to represent the atoms of different elements.
Whoa.
What did we do before that?
Yes, they used
this. September 6, 1943, the Monterey Institute of Technology, one of the largest and most influential private universities in Latin America, is founded in Monterey, Mexico.
We're at the birthdays. Take a few of them. Happy birthday goes out to the state too. Can you read it?
This, I gotta read this bullet list.
Surprise!
All of it, Brian.
Own it. Painter Sebastian Rösser. Born on this date in 1475, Johann Wilkie, the Swedish physicist, was born 285 years ago today. John Dalton, English chemist, meteorologist, and what is that, a psychic?
Physicist.
He was born on that same date in 1766.
He's the guy who gave the letters to the elements about two slides ago.
I thought it was James Bond. Yeah.
Oh, that's French scientist Alcidier Bird, born on this date in 1802. Edward Victor Appleton, the English physicist, was born 125 years ago today. American inventor Charles Foley, born on this date in 1930. And... finally, American actress Joanne Worley is 80 today.
Oh, wait, I thought there was a more on there. Oh, I got these two slides backwards. You want to keep going, Brian, or you want somebody
else? Also turning 77 days, scientist Emeritus is at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, John M. Hayes. Actress Jane Curtin is 70 today. Also born on that same date in 1954, American corporate executive and politician Carly Fiermer, American stand-up comedian Jeff Foxworthy, I can say that one. Born on this date in 1958, might be a redneck if you can say his name. Also born on that date in 1962, American attorney and politician Chris Christie. More
More!
More!
That's the way it was on this date in history for September the 6th, 2017.
Yay! Yay! Well played. You drew the short straw, and now you're part of the show.
Yeah. Somebody give him a podcast.
That's right. All right, well, next up, I'd like to welcome back a great friend of Comedy Forecast. Unfortunately, Grant Pachoco is not here tonight, so instead, let's give a warm welcome to the owner of the Little Wicker Basket Company, Miss Abby Fallmacher.
Hello, everyone. I'm Abby Fallmacher, owner of the Little Wicker Baskets Company. Little wicker baskets.
They're everywhere.
And whether you're looking for a basket big enough to hide in until 2020, or one small enough to hold the reality of you ever winning the Powerball jackpot, we have what you need.
Well, that's good to know. I understand you have a special announcement for everyone here tonight.
No. I have condolences for everyone here. Let's face it, this live show is like reliving the sinking of the Titanic. Mm. Only less fun. Come to think of it, this new room does remind me an awful lot of steerage.
Okay, let's move on. What is your announcement?
It turns out that my social media team
Wait, you have a social media team.
Oh, you got me. It's not really a team. It's just a guy that comes out from Geek Squad once a month to reboot my router. That's a euphemism.
Yes, okay, I think we all understand that.
Need some brain bleach.
We all get it.
Now, where was I? Oh, yes, apparently I need to expand my media presence. These days you have to diversify. Fire up the PowerPoint, fidget boy.
Okay.
I'm about to drop some multimedia truth.
Okay, all set?
Today I am announcing the launch of the Little Wicker Baskets video streaming service. I give you the Carton Network.
Carton Network.
Ms. Fallmacher, I think I should point out that Cartoon Network is headquartered right here in Atlanta.
That's why I'm announcing the service's brand new name, The Complete Wicker.
Okay, well, at least that's not in Atlanta. So what's going to be on the CW, if I might coin a copyright infringement phrase? A bunch of infomercials for wicker baskets?
Wrong again, humor boy. My service is about to take down Hulu, Netflix, and that CBS All Your Monies Are Belong to Us to Watch Star Trek thing.
Oh, well, that's a tall order. So what exactly shows are on this service?
Well, first off, we're premiering a series loosely based on a popular dystopian novel. The twist is, we're going to concentrate on how the characters accessorize. I'm talking about the Handmaid's Tote.
Wow. That's not at all what I was expecting. It's pretty hip to break the story that way.
Never say hip and break to an old person.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. So what's next?
Well, this one's exciting. And a little bit creepy. Using the newest night vision technology, we're going to break into people's homes and search through their wicker baskets to see what sad and weird junk they have collected. We call this one Stranger Bins.
You know, that sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
My lawyers assure me it's perfectly legal, as long as I move to Australia before the show premieres.
Oh, I see. You're going to the upside down.
Need to come with footnotes.
Yes, well, okay, let's move on from there. What is next?
The next show we're stealing directly from FX. It stars Zach Galifianakis, and it's perfect just the way it is. No changes needed. Of course, I'm talking about baskets. We are also adding a game show.
Ooh.
It's a contest where we bring in B-list celebrities to produce wicker baskets as quickly and cheaply as possible without all those pesky OSHA regulations.
You mean...
That's right. So you think you can weave.
Okay, so is that about it?
Not quite, Giggle Boy. I have one more that's sure to be a winner. This one takes a gritty look at the cutthroat world of sourcing my basket-making materials. It's Bamboo is the New Rattan.
Well, it certainly seems like you have an exciting lineup of new fall shows.
Never say fall to an old person.
Oh, sorry. How much does the service cost?
Next to nothing. You get it for less than you'd spend on a cup of coffee every morning.
Me? Wow, that much? Well, good luck with your streaming service, and do you have anything else to say to our audience?
No. They showed up here, they're on their own. Just remember that the complete Wicker app can be downloaded directly to your overpriced iPhone or your blah-de-blah Android device. Oh. My Geek Squad geek uses that phrase often. I thought that was another euphemism. Silly me. And remember, little wicker baskets,
they're everywhere.
Well, thank you very much, Miss Abby Fallenbacher.
Thank you.
We've done this the past couple of shows, and what we're going to do is I'm going to read a fairy tale. And you are going to have a couple of phrases on your sheet. If you have a phrase, we'll need to have the roving microphone for that.
Steve, wake up.
Apparently, Steve has been volunteered.
Maybe he wants to play.
Yeah, maybe he does. So maybe...
I'm retired. Sorry, Steve.
Retired.
Oh, look at this. We have another volunteer. So if you think you have a phrase that fits the blank space... Then just shout out. So we're just waiting until everybody's got their phrases.
No, don't shout out. Just raise your hand because they got to.
Yeah, that's right. So raise your hand and we'll bring the microphone over to you so people in our listening audience at home can hear. There once was a young girl, the daughter of the king and queen, with skin as white as snow. So they called her Snow White. Before Snow White had grown up, her mother, the queen, died and her father married again. A most beautiful woman who was very vain of her beauty and jealous of all women who might be thought of as beautiful as she. Every morning she would stand before her mirror and say, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all?" And the mirror always used to reply,
"Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya.
But Snow White grew fairer and fairer every year, till at last one day when the queen spoke to her mirror and said, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" The mirror replied,
"Is this testing whether I'm a replicant or a lesbian, Mr. Deckard?"
Enraged, and rightly so, the queen went to a hunter and ordered him to take Snow White out into the forest and there kill her. But when the hunter had taken Snow White out into the forest, his heart failed him, and he let her go. Snow White wandered through the forest until she came to a hut. She was so tired that she lifted up the latch and walked in. There she saw seven little beds. She lay down and fell fast asleep. In the evening, when the seven dwarfs came back to their home, one of the dwarfs noticed Snow White asleep in the bed. And he said,
"Hey, doll, is this guy boring you? Come and talk to me. I'm from a different planet."
Snow White awoke and told the dwarfs all the hunter had said about the queen wanting to slay her. The dwarfs asked if Snow White would be willing to stop with them and keep house for them. And Snow White replied,
"Well, screw that. I'm not going to do it. The script was badly written."
How appropriate.
That's right.
The next morning, when the queen went up and asked the mirror her usual question and called out, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" The mirror replied,
"Brain and brain, what is brain?"
And the queen knew that Snow White had not been slain. Okay, I guess that's how she got that. So she sent for the hunter and made him confess that he had let Snow White go. She made him search about the forest till at last he brought back word to her that Snow White was dwelling in a little hut on the hill with the seven dwarfs. That must have been a story. The queen dressed herself up like an old woman and took with her a poisoned apple. She went to the hut where Snow White was living and knocked at the door. Snow White called out from within, "Go away! I must not let anyone come in." The queen replied,
"If you feel you are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately."
Snow White opened the door. The queen held out the apple and Snow White took it. But the moment she had swallowed the first bite of it, she fell down dead. The queen laughed and said,
"Oh, I guess you picked the wrong goddamn rec room to break into, didn't you?"
Then the queen slunk away back to the palace and went at once to her chambers and addressed the mirror on the wall. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" The mirror replied,
"You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes."
Then the queen knew that Snow White was dead and that she was without a rival in beauty. When the dwarfs came home that night and found Snow White lying motionless upon the ground, the dwarf said,
"Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, that's hysteria."
The dwarfs had a glass case coffer made and put Snow White in. A prince of the neighboring country happened to be hunting near the hill of the dwarfs and called at their hut to get a glass of water. When he came in, he found Snow White lying in her crystal coffer. Gazing upon Snow White, the prince said,
"Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've caught me doing."
She was jumping out of her seat.
The prince fell at once in love with Snow White, obviously, and sat by her side as the dwarfs told him her story. Moved by the story, the prince lifted the coffer lid and kissed Snow White, whereupon the girl opened her eyes. Snow White exclaimed,
"Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty egg."
At that same moment, the queen once more came to her room and spoke to the mirror on the wall. "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of us all?" The mirror replied,
"A good many dramatic situations begin with screaming."
And the queen was so enraged, she rushed to the window and threw herself out. As she plummeted to the ground, she exclaimed,
"Gentlemen, I wash my hands of this weirdness."
The end.
How appropriate. There you go.
You guys are awesome.
That was awesome.
And now we turn things over to Chuck and Craig for another game.
We have another game? Oh, the other game. This one involves planning, volunteers again. You can planning. Tell. You're part of the show tonight.
Audience.
Get used to it.
That's right.
This one we're calling Name the Geek.
Well, no.
Guess the Geek. Yeah. It says name over here. We have an editing problem.
Yeah.
Something I'm well acquainted with.
We have a failure of communication here.
We need three volunteers. Who would like to be our first? I saw Crazy Joe's hand go up first. So, Joe, I need you to step right up here. So grab the microphone.
All right.
And you are going to face...
No, bring it over here.
I'm working on it.
Yeah. Quickly.
You're going to face the audience.
So you cannot see the screen.
We have... three movie characters. Don't look at the screen. Three movie characters, and you are going to ask questions. Five questions. Three is right out. Five questions, and there will be questions about this character we can answer in a yes or no.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, the audience is about to see. Okay, your first question, sir.
Is it a recent movie?
No.
Okay. Is it a sci-fi movie?
No.
No.
I'll give you a hint after three.
Is it George Newman from UHF?
Yeah!
No.
No.
Okay. It's a horror movie.
Ah. All right. Is it the killer in the horror movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it Freddy Krueger?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well done. Oh, well done. Just don't drop the mic.
Who is our next victim volunteer?
Daniel.
Step right up, grab that microphone. You know the drill. Okay. Don't you love it when the audience does that?
I clearly know something I don't. So is it a recent movie?
No.
Is it a fantasy movie?
Yes.
Is it a male character?
Yes.
On a scale of one to me, how handsome are they?
That's a loaded question, sorry.
One.
Yes.
One. Oh, wait, was that third question, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very distinctive catchphrase.
That guy from The Princess Bride?
Which guy?
Yeah, which
come
guy?
On.
I can't think of his name. The
describe
one.
Him.
Do his impression.
The guy who plays Andre the Giant plays him. No, not Mandy Patinkin. Wow, my brain is fried.
No.
Okay, so close. The other guy, the one that he poisons and kills? Not him, but the one that Clyde Ewan poisons and kills?
Well, catchphrase.
The short
catchphrase is
here.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable.
You know he's here, right? Yeah, he's here.
Yes, that's
Ewan.
It.
Ewan!
Yes! Well done! Well done!
We didn't even know he had a real name until Craig did some looking up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's real. I always refer to him as a
fan. It's funny because we were talking about him in the kickoff panel this morning.
I think he's less bald now for some reason.
What? Hair club for men?
That's inconceivable.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we need one more.
Third and final.
One more for the third and final.
I saw hands go up earlier.
You see how easy it is. Come on,
Rob, people. Come on. You can do it. Watch your head.
This is what you get for coming in late, Rob.
And your feet.
Yeah,
that's why he's wearing his helmet.
I look this way, right?
No. Yeah, sure, right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
No, okay.
Okay. Wait for the audience reaction.
That does not fill me with confidence.
You're fine.
Is it a sci-fi movie?
Yes.
Within the past 20 years?
No.
Is it a galaxy far, far away?
Yes.
Darth Vader?
No, that's four. Yeah, up, would you like a hint?
Please. Don't look.
This character has no speaking lines. Maybe that's not a good enough hint.
None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
Oh my goodness.
Is it a good guy?
No.
Judgy?
Brian, are you calling this a good guy?
I'm just saying.
No backstory, huh? We don't know.
It is what it is.
Oh, okay.
Did you not read the graphic novel about this character?
One more hint.
He's not
one
the guy more. Carrying the bread maker, in case you're wondering.
A bounty hunter's worst nightmare.
Boba Fett?
No, Boba Fett is a bounty hunter.
So, I give up.
All right.
Okay, turn around.
Nobody's going to guess the Sarlacc.
Now, wait a second. Right. He does belch. That's kind of a lie.
He belches.
Yeah.
All
right.
And apparently we now know that it's in question whether or not he's a bad guy.
I think it just is. It's like, it's
a force
it just
of
is.
Nature.
There
yeah,
we go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the bear from the Revenant, just hungry.
Yeah, just hungry.
That even doesn't do a good job of digestion, because I think Boba Fett is coming back. So it's just like, okay. So we are moving on to the next segment. In the next segment, I'm actually, this is becoming Inception, because I'm going to be recording this in addition to recording this.
A cheater.
Yes.
It's a podcast and a podcast.
So we've been doing a challenge, the Dog Days of Podcasting, for the entire month of August. How many people here are participating in Dog Days of Podcasting? There we go.
Yes.
This was a brainchild of Mr. Craig Stepp. And he figured that the Dog Days were like that time of the year when no one feels like doing anything and podcasting seems to slump off. So the idea was encourage people to just do anything for the entire 31 days. But actually this year it started on August 1st and it's going through September 1st.
So it's just a little longer.
Right. So this is the 32nd day of the 30-day challenge, just so we're clear on that. And I thought what I would do is I have to record my final one, so I would do it as part of the show. So I'm actually going to be recording this the way I do every single one of them, which is just on my phone, but you're going to hear my review. So let us get... Hi, this is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, located at comedyforecast.com. And today is day 32 of my participation in the dog days of podcasting. But there's something a bit different about today. I actually have an audience. Say hello, audience.
Hello!
Now, if you've been following along every day during this challenge, I've downloaded, played, and reviewed a different video game. Because I don't normally play video games, especially on my phone, which is where I've been reviewing them. There is one exception, however. It's a game called Virtual Families 2. And in this game, you get to be in charge of a virtual family, because having a real family apparently is not enough for some people. I thought the idea was strange, but I figured, okay, I'm going to go ahead and play the game. So let me catch you up on what happened. When I opened the game, I was given a character by the name of Margie. Margie was a 21-year-old person who liked to work with crafts. She was interested in having kids, and she was a little bit depressed. Welcome to life, or virtual life.
Virtual life.
And she's placed into this house. Now, I can see everything because the walls in the house are only 3 feet tall. There's no roof on this house. And there's no place Margie can go that I can't see her. No place that she can go that I can't see her. So the game is pretty creepy to begin with. Now I'm trying to figure out, how do I play this game? All right, well, Margie's a bit depressed, but she works with crafts, and there's a hobby area, and you can move the person to different areas. So I put her there. She was working on things. She earned some money. That was great, but she was still depressed. Suddenly there's an email that came in. The email came in, it was... A possible suitor for Margie. But in this game, the email comes in, you have two choices. Either reject the suitor or marry the person. That's it. There's no in between. So that's creepy as well. And it tells you a bit about the suitor. Now, this suitor did not want children. So I said, oh, obviously no good for Margie. We're not settling for this schmo. So I rejected that person. And Margie was still depressed. So I got food for her, and it turns out she likes the really expensive organic food. Thank goodness that Amazon has bought Whole Foods, so it was a bit cheaper for that. But she's still depressed. I thought, well, let's get a cat. I'll get her a cat. So there's a cat in the house, and she's still depressed. And suddenly another email comes in, and the second email is for another suitor. And I'm having her look at that email. It looks like another guy that's not going to be able to be any good for her. And all of a sudden I look back, and the stove is on fire in the kitchen. And I can't figure out, how do I turn out the stove? Put out the fire on the stove in this virtual house because there's no fire extinguishers, and they close the game. I said, I'm never going back to this game.
Until
I went back to the game. So I opened up the game again, and now Margie, who was 21 years old the first time, is now 27 years old. And remember, this is all taking place in less than a month. So she's now 27. Mercifully, the fire is out. It must have just burned itself out eventually. The house is still standing. So I see that, and then all of a sudden there's a stranger at the door saying, do you want to adopt a kid? Sure, random stranger, let's have Margie adopt a child. Okay, so the child name is Filona. And Filona's in the house, and as soon as I accept Filona in as the daughter, a pop-up comes up saying, time to try for a baby. Drag the male character onto the female character, or vice versa. All right. First of all, no. And second of all, there are only females in this house. I don't know how to respond to that. So then another email comes in, a possible suitor. I say no to that. And then I notice that there are several places in the house that need fixing up. But I can't fix them up because there need to be four generations of people in this house before I can fix up these rooms. Okay, I've got two generations. And all of a sudden now Margie is getting a fever. And I don't know. Look, I couldn't even put out the fire on the stove. How am I going to get rid of her fever? Does she have health insurance? I have no idea how this works. And I close the game.
Settle down.
Until I went back again.
Yeah.
Third time I went back, a notice comes up immediately saying that Filona has now gone off to college.
They grow up so fast.
And Margie, who was 27, is now 54 years old in this game. These are fruit flies dressed up as people, I swear. And she's still a bit depressed. So I said, okay, I'll get a dog. I'll get her a dog. Okay, so I purchase a dog, and I go back to the game, and there's no dog. It's just the cat and Margie roaming around the house because Filona's now gone off someplace. So I get another email that comes in. It's another possible suitor, and at this point I'm ready to settle, you know, because she, you know, I don't know what to do. And the guy is 54 years old, and he wants to have kids. I said, okay, this actually is a good match. So marriage, he's happy, they're in the house, they're jumping around, and I say, you know, now what I need to do is drag the male onto the female. And I did that, and all of a sudden there's a lot of noise, and then a pop-up comes up saying, yeah, they're not feeling it right now, so I don't think this is going to happen. And I close the game.
She's 54.
Well, a digital clock, biological clock, I have no idea how that ticks. So I decided to go in one more time. I opened up the game today, and the first pop-up I got said that Greg, who is the husband that came into this thing, has gotten a promotion. And I said, that's great. Now, Margie's been in the game longer. I should think she should get the promotion first, but we know how that works in the real world. Okay, so that's exciting. I click OK to that. I get a second pop-up. The second pop-up says that Margie has died.
Oh.
No indication of how old she was. No indication of what happened. No indication of where to send flowers. She's just dead. And I thought, oh, well, poor Greg. Now, well, at least he got his promotion. He still has his work. So I click OK on Margie. Greg has died as well.
Whoa.
I don't know how much time has passed in this house, but clearly long enough that they're both dead. And I say, okay, now I've got a house where the daughter has moved out and gone to college. The two people are dead. The cat surely is dead by now. And the dog never showed up in the first place. What am I supposed to do? And a pop-up comes up. And it says, well, you know, you can have a second generation move into the house. And I said, oh, Filona, okay, great. So apparently she has no life outside of this house. So it's clearly wherever she's living now, she can just leave there and come back to the house. It makes me adopt her because I guess there's no one else alive. So I now have to, I'm now responsible for this human life that's come back into this house. So I put her in the house and then I notice the cat is still there. The people have died. How old is this cat? And then I look, the dog is there now. Where did the dog come from? And I get another email, and it's for a suitor for, you know, Filona. And I go, great. And his name is Gregolo. Not to make things confusing, I say, okay, great. So let's have him come into the game. So he comes into the game, and I'm saying, okay, I really want to fix up that room over there, but I said that I have to have several generations in the house first. And then I realized this game is making these two people have sex to have a baby so I can fix up a spare bedroom. And I'm going, sure, why not? So I put the male on top of the female, and this time it works, and they start walking off towards the bedroom. Now remember, I can see everything.
Oh my.
And I have two choices at this point. I can close the game and come back later. But they may be dead by that point because I know I have no idea how long these people live. Or I can watch. So I watched. They go into the bedroom. They both stand on the bed. The dog gets onto the bed as well.
You're doing it wrong.
They hop up and down. And all of a sudden, Filona has a child that she's carrying around like a football in swaddling cloth. And she's constantly washing the baby. She washes it in the sink. She goes into the bathroom. She washes the baby. She goes outside where it's raining. Apparently, she's trying to see if the baby is waterproof. I don't know what's going on. And I say, enough. You know, Gregolo, Filona, an unnamed child. You are on your own. I am closing this game, and you're up to the digital universe. And that is the end of my participation in Dog Days of Podcasting 2017, and the last time I will ever open Virtual Families 2. Oh, bye-bye.
Until tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right.
So now we will move on.
Yes. I hold in my hand 5 envelopes that have been hermetically sealed and stored away in my garage with all the Dragon Con paraphernalia, since last year under a toolbox, under a dog bed, and some other various dusty stuff. No one knows the contents of these envelopes. However, UNIVAC the Magnificent has traveled all the way from Silicon Valley with his advanced AI developed by two college students between drinking binges to divine the answers to the questions that are inside of these envelopes. Please welcome everybody, UNIVAC the Magnificent. Woo!
Thank you for that warm welcome. May Siri deliver you all the answers you seek.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, for that warm welcome. Here is the first envelope.
Subordinate clauses.
Subordinate clauses.
That's what I said.
Yes. Subordinate.
What is another name for Santa's elves?
Subordinate. Oh.
There's more.
I hold my hand. The second envelope. You can get it back if you will.
Traveling light.
Traveling light. It's the only way to travel.
Yeah. What is a photon's response when it is asked if he has any luggage?
Oh.
Is it time?
I hold in my hand the third envelope. In the back.
A beer.
A beer.
Yes, a beer. Could use a few now. What you get when you put root beer in a square glass? This is dad humor.
I have in my hand the fourth envelope. Head hurting already?
Are we done yet? How many did you say you had?
15.
Too many.
One too many.
I tell you, there's an after party after this show. We're all going to need it. Classical conditioning.
Classical conditioning.
What's the reason Pavlov's hair is so soft?
Fear not. I have the final envelope.
Yay!
That other one could have been Beethoven's hair too. You know, with the
yeah.
Anyway. Tentacles.
Tentacles. Tentacles.
Getting better at this. How many tickles does it take to make a squid laugh? Tentacles.
All right, everybody. Thank you for UNIVAC the Magnificent. Give him a big hand, please. Yes.
All right. So for our last segment of the evening, we're looking for a couple of volunteers once again. This is the all-volunteer show this evening, in case you...
Why should we podcast when they can do it for us, right?
So let me explain briefly what is going on here. As I mentioned, we have a new podcast that we're all doing called The Topic is Trek. And it's about Star Trek.
Really?
Big surprise. We do a new segment. We do a main topic that we talk about in depth. And then we have a last segment that we call the Warp Speed Roundtable, where we do different topics, where it's just a quick topic, we give it, and everybody gives a quick answer as to what their feeling is about it, and then we wrap the show at that point. So we want to do our Warp Speed Roundtable, and this one is a segment that we call Would You Rather? So we'd like to have a volunteer to answer, two volunteers to answer Would You Rather? The first one. So I'm picking two volunteers.
I'm picking them.
All
right.
I'm
not a volunteer.
Sam and Joe are right in front, so I'm picking them as the two volunteers.
All right.
So you can go up to the microphone and take your turns saying what you would rather. And give a quick explanation as to why. Would you rather eat 2 gallons of fresh live gach with a spork? or drink 20 mugs of steaming hot Ractigino without a bathroom break?
Oh, definitely the spork food. Yeah.
And why?
Because it's a spork.
I see. Sporks are cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the food. You know, I'll be puking it up later.
And you, sir.
Hi. What the hey?
Okay. Same question to you. Which would you rather do?
Well, it's going to result in me peeing my pants, but I'm taking the rock to Gino.
All right.
I have a bladder like an infant.
Okay. And there's a reason that you chose that when clearly that is bad for you.
TMI. Yeah.
Because Gok just looks really disgusting, and what would I rather do? Eat something really disgusting or pee myself in public? I've done nude bladder before.
So we have a tie, so I'm going to put the tiebreaker in. I'm going to say to Chuck, which would you rather and why?
I'm not a coffee drinker, and as I understand it, Rectigino is a coffee-like substance, so I'll go with the Gach.
Okay, so Gach wins by losing. All right, I need two more volunteers, so Susie and Gary, come on down, or up, or over.
You and me both.
So, would you rather tweeze the hair out of the Grand Negus's ear?
I love the face.
Or be stuck in a Jeffrey's tube with Scotty after he eats a replicator burrito.
I'm going to go with Scotty just because the ear hair thing is disgusting. But I'm fairly familiar with the other issue because I have a son and a husband at home that like bees. I can handle that.
You can handle that?
And a dog.
So be taking a little bit of home with you into the Jeffries tube. So, okay.
Like Joe, you have experience.
I have experience. So, yes.
All right,
Gary.
By the way, I like Gary's expression back there. He was really giving it some hard thought.
Okay, so you've mulled this over.
Yes, I have. There's no way I'm giving any type of umox to that Grand Negus. So I'm going with Scotty.
All right, so Scotty and the replicator burrito wins. All right, we have time for just one last one. So who would like to volunteer for one more before I pick somebody? Okay, we got Daniel. We need one more person.
Amy.
Okay, and Amy. Come on up.
Come on, everybody. Give him a big hand. Come on. She looks like she's prepared to answer a Star Trek question.
Which should go with?
I do. I was wearing my Star Trek jersey yesterday.
Okay. Here is your question. Would you rather battle a Gorn-sized duck or 100 duck-sized Gorns?
Do I get a weapon?
Does she get a weapon?
If you can forge some gunpowder out of the dirt and materials around it,
charcoal.
Yeah.
Than the 100 duck-sized Gorn.
Okay, all right. And is there a reason why?
I don't know. I suppose you can kick them or something.
That's where I was going.
Fair enough. Thank you, Amy. Daniel.
So I was staring at this. Someone dumped this in my sax belt today because people don't tip, they give you rubber ducks. And my first thought was like hers, but I remember like when you're watching lots of children, they grab your arms and legs and they slowly overpower you. So I feel like if I went after the Gorn-sized duck, it'd be kind of a rancor situation. Maybe I get lucky, but I'm gonna get run over by a whole bunch of little Gorns. So I'm gonna take the big one too. I'm gonna fight the big one.
Okay, so does that mean we've got a tie?
Oh, yes we do.
All right, so I'm gonna throw it to Mr. Craig Stepp.
Thank goodness.
Gorn-sized duck. I would go for the 100 duck-sized Gorns because they taste like chicken.
Nope. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. So we do all different types of things that we've done. Ones where we list a crew member and say, do they get a shuttle pod or out the airlock? So we just very quick things, and you can find that at thetopicistrek.com. We're going to be submitting to all the normal feeds. We just are coming out of beta right now on the show, so look for that one. So it's about time to wrap it up.
First of all, wait.
Something to take home. Consider the last question that we didn't ask.
Would you rather attend a group therapy session run by Counselor Troy or Cybok? I want to thank you, first of all, for attending. Big hand for all of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I, again, am Clinton from Comedy Forecast. You can find my show at comedyforecast.com.
I'm Craig Stapp with Technorama, and you can find us at chuckchat.com/Technorama.
He already stole my line.
Yeah.
I'm Chuck.
And I also want to have a big hand for Brian.
Thank you, Chuck.
For helping run everything.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck.
For our sound. For everybody that's working on the podcasting track, doing an excellent job. Thank you, and
all right, thank you. 101.
Bye-bye. Thanks once again to Chuck, Craig, my wife Bonnie, the folks who work hard on the podcasting track at DragonCon, and our great live audience for making this show possible. And thank you for listening.
My goodness, look at the time.
Oh, is it that time already, Sir Patrick? Well, if you want to get in touch with the show, send an email to podcast@comedyforecast.com or call the super secret phone line at area code 360-515-0004.
Let's wrap this up, shall we?
Right, okay. Well, you can follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Just search for Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4. And a special thank you to all of our Patreon patrons.
As always, this is Sir Patrick Stewart.
And I'm Clinton.
Saying,
that's it.
We're done.
Bye-bye.